Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
Colossians chapter 3. Our focus is on verses 5 through 11. We've studied the doctrinal section of Colossians chapters 1 and 2. We are now in the responsibility part, the duty of the Christian, in chapters 3 and 4. We studied in verses 1 through 4 of chapter 3 of Colossians the priorities of the believer. The priority, first of all, in our motivation is to seek the Lord in everything. The second thing is, in our meditation, we are to be continually minding the things above, not the things upon the earth. We are to be continually on guard in our minds to keep our minds from being occupied with the things of this life. And we are to be minding the things of Christ. The reason for it, verses 3 and 4, it says, "For you died." That is, when Christ died on the cross, he died my death. He substituted himself for me, not so that I wouldn't have to die, but he died in my place, substitutionary, and he died my death, therefore I have died. And your life has been hidden with Christ in God. Very important for today. We died and our life has been hidden with Christ in God. As we began verses 5 through chapter 4, verse 14, after studying the priorities of life, the principles of the completed life in Christ, we're in verses 5 through 11, the principle of putting off the old life. When it said back in chapter 3 that you died, we understand that the word death means separation. It does not mean non-existence. When I die, I separate from my body. My spirit leaves my body, and my spirit goes to be with Christ, but my physical body is left behind. There is a separation that takes place. But just because I died doesn't mean that I am no longer existing. I am existing. I'm just moved out of this body and into the spirit realm where Christ is. So when it says you died, we have to understand what that means, because the moment that I received Jesus Christ into my spirit, I was separated from or died to the human sin nature that lives in my physical body. I am saved, but my physical body is not. Therefore, Paul says in Galatians chapter 5 at verse 17, the flesh is fighting against the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is opposing the flesh. There's a constant battle that rages on in the believer, which is why God gives us his spirit. We can't wage that battle and win on our own. So Christ sends his spirit to live within, to keep us in Christ and to guard us in Christ and to keep us from being drawn away from him by the active sin nature that's in our flesh, that's in the human realm. Therefore, Since, Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verse 14, that since now you have been died to the old nature, you've been separated from it, you are now under the authority and power of Christ. Now it's a matter of decision making. The sin nature will continue to function in your human, in your flesh, but you have been delivered from it. It no longer lords over you. So now it's a matter of decision making. You can put it off. You can say no to it. A genuine born-again believer in Christ can never say, the devil made me do it. Because it's a matter of choice. It's a matter of giving in. It's not a matter of it having authority over us. Therefore, he says in verse 5, in light of what Christ has done, that we have died and our life has been hidden with Christ in God, therefore consider you dead to your members that are upon the earth. That is the members of your body that are functioning in conjunction with this earthly life. Consider yourself dead. Sin still lives, it still functions, but you are dead to it, separated from it. The cause for this command in verses 6 and 7, because the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, verse 7 says, among whom you once functioned. So stop functioning as if you're a non-believer, because you're not a non-believer anymore. You've received Christ and you died and your life is hidden with Christ. Therefore, put it off. In verse 8, he says, but now, you yourselves, in other words, nobody else but you, in your decision-making process, also put off all of these things. And as I said before, these are terminologies that has to do with either putting on a coat or taking off a coat. Putting on clothing or taking it off. I have been made a new creation in Christ. So he uses language to say, when it's the flesh, put it off. Say no to it. Make a decision not to go that way, not to succumb to that direction, not to choose to go that route. If you are a genuine born-again believer in Christ, we have been freed from that. That's what I have been saved from. That's what salvation means. I have been saved from the authority of the sin nature ruling over me. And I'm now ruled by Christ. So he says, put it off, all of these things. And the next command in verses 9 to 11, stop lying to one another. And just be real. After having put off the old man or the old life with its practices, and after having put on the new life, the one that is being renewed. As we pointed out last week, number one, when Jesus Christ came into my life, I became a new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 tells us that if you are in Christ Jesus, you're a new creation, you're a new person. Now, I want to emphasize here, because it's going to be highlighted in the lines we're going to take today of the scripture, you have become a new creation. Your humanness has not changed. I became a new creation by the living Christ coming to live inside of me. I became a different person. My human is the same. My sin nature has not been changed. But yet there is an authority, a spiritual force, a spiritual power, a spiritual authority in my life that now rules even over the sin nature that's in my flesh. And this new life, he says, put off the old and put on the new. The one that is being renewed. Participial form. Continuously. we are continuously involved in the renewing process, which is very important in two ways. Number one, being renewed into full knowledge. Last week we saw in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is God's design plan that through the information about Christ, that God's Spirit uses that to cause us to grow close to Christ and to come to know Christ. Again, it doesn't change our human nature, but it causes us to know Him more. But for today, secondly, according to the image of the one having created Him. If you have it in your study guides, having creating Him, it should be created, having created Him. According to the image of the one having created this new life, this new creation. So I come and I learn about Him, but that can just be head knowledge. And most of the time, what we see in and among the body of Christ are people that are filled with Bible knowledge. That is not transformation. That is not spiritual transformation until God's Spirit takes that and causes a transformation to take place, not in our human nature, because it doesn't change, but rather in our understanding of and relationship with Christ and His influence in our lives. It says that according to the image of the one who has created this new creation, this new man. That's a very interesting language. We saw in our Monday night class in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, that God has chosen or determined ahead of time, predestinated, that we who are saved should be conformed to the image of His Son. Same terminology. To His image. We see this word image back in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, where it says, man was created in the image of God. That image of God was tarnished, corrupted in Genesis chapter 3 when sin came into the world. So Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 tells us that when Jesus came, He came as the image of the invisible God. And Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 tells us that Jesus Christ is the projection of the image of God through the time-space factor. That all the time maintaining Himself as God, yet He projected His image, the image of who He is and what He is, through the time-space factor. Now that I have received Christ, and I have Christ living in me, I now have the image of God manifested, projected, magnified in my life. Understand that the growth process, again making reference to 2 Corinthians 5:17, that we have become a new creation. Paul says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In other words, the old way of doing things is not what the believer does anymore. We put those things off. We don't do those things anymore. That all things have become new. There's a new way to do things. We're in the process of learning those new ways, but not for the human being to do. Like I say, the human nature, the human element never changes. It gets older. It becomes more corrupt. And the corrupt sin nature continues its corruption process. But the human nature doesn't change. What changes is the transformation that the image of Christ himself is the authority and transforming expression of a believer's life. See, I'm learning that my requirement is to submit to Christ. That's a decision to put on or make a decision for the Lord's way versus my way. Put off my way. But it is interesting that his will for my life is for him to magnify himself through me. So in order for there to be more of him and less of me, I must go through trials and tribulations that keep me under and keep me down and keep him magnified, because he is the image of God projecting himself through my life. Just like he has done through the time-space factor. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, he says, while I'm living here on the earth, I only have one goal in life. And that's that whether I live or whether I die, that Christ may be magnified in my body. How often we hear, because the philosophy in America, the Western culture Christian church, no matter what religious form it is, the emphasis here in our Western society, as far as Christianity goes, is the self-expression of the human. Now that you have received Christ, do your best for him. Or God has gifted you. Now you as the human being, you are now justified in anything that you do, because if you do it in the human, in the name of Christ, it's okay. And that's just the opposite of what the gospel, what biblical Christianity is, not cultural Christianity. What we see today is cultural Christianity. It is a type of Christianity that's been formed out of our cultural philosophy, lifestyle, and beliefs, not by the Bible. The Bible speaks against what we do. But what we do, we are drawn to and we're attracted to people coming along and saying, God's made you important. He's put Christ in your life. Now you as a human being, go out and do the best you can for Jesus. Which the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, that those who are in the flesh cannot please God. The only thing God is pleased with is the presence and work of his own Spirit in us and through us. He's not pleased with us. Paul says in Romans chapter 7 that in his flesh, in his human, is no good thing. The term there is agathos for good. No spiritual good whatsoever, because it isn't spiritual and it is ruled by the sin nature. So what does God want of me? A surrender of this broken vessel with the acknowledgement that there is nothing good in me that God requires, because I have no good. That it is completely affected by sin. He wants a surrendered vessel. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says that the Christian life is made up of presenting your body as a living sacrifice. What is God's will for my life? In every situation that I surrender my life, my physical body, my physical life to Christ, for his Spirit to work in and through my life. You understand that I don't become a better human being because of Christ. I can discipline my human in a religious way. I can go join any religious group in America that advocates becoming a better human being. I can act better. I can talk better. I can treat people a little better. I can discipline my human to be a better human being. But that's not spiritual. Because what people will see is people will see me going in the name of Christ. But they won't see Christ. They'll see me. Look what I have become. Look what God's Spirit has done in my life. Look how great He's made me. Look how good He's made me. What Christ wants to do is manifest Himself, project His image, if you will, through and in my life. I wonder what people would tell us if we came to our family and even our closest friends and we were to ask them, "Do you see Christ in me?" Not my human effort, not my human religiosity, not my human beliefs, not even my human knowledge of the Bible. Do you see Christ in me? Because that's the whole point, is that He manifests Himself to me. I'm changed and transformed by that. Not my human, but my spirit. And I'm renewed in the spirit of my mind. My thinking processes are transformed by the image of Christ. And it is manifested and projected into my brain and my thinking processes. But it's Him. It's not the Bible. It's Him. It's the manifestation of Christ in us and through us, not our human representation of Christ. You heard the president say at least twice within the last month in his news conferences, in speaking about Christians and Muslims and how Christians are not acting like Christians should. And Christians talk about love, but they don't love. But then he makes statements like, Christians have the Bible and we should be living according to as the Bible dictates. That's religion. We don't use the Bible as a manual for us in our human strength to do it. That's not biblical Christianity. That's Western world Christianity. That's cultural Christianity that we know. But biblical Christianity says that we are the clay vessel, a cracked pot. I've been called a cracked pot before. Pretty close to being right, a cracked pot. I'm a clay vessel, that's it. As a person and in the human, that's it. But my clay vessel is filled with the Spirit of Christ, who is the image of the invisible God. And His image is continually transforming the way that I think, and His image is continually manifesting Himself to me and through me. So we need to get it straight, is that we're being transformed by the image of the one who made this new life and made this new creation. Not to make us so much better human beings, but we will become better human beings the more His Spirit controls us and has the authority over us. And that comes through growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That comes through submitting and surrendering to Christ Himself so that others see His image. Not me, but they see Him. And then He says in verse 11, concerning this new creation, where there is no Greek and Jew, there's no racial lines at all in the body of Christ, in this new life. There is no circumcision and uncircumcision. There's no religious differences in the body of Christ. Cultural, there's no barbarian or Scythian. A barbarian is considered to be somebody by the Greeks who can't speak Greek. They are barbarians. They're unintelligible. You can't understand what they say because they don't speak Greek. That's a barbarian. A Scythian is somebody who is worse than a barbarian. They were a nomadic tribe, warlike tribe, that came into the Mediterranean area in Asia. And they were very animalistic, warlike people that just traveled around killing other people. Barbaric. Scythian. And then there's no social differences. They're a slave or a free man. It's all the same in the body of Christ. But Christ is all things and in all people. To a person who is in Christ, Christ is everything. He's in everything. He's in every one of his people. Christ is all in all. So God has projected the image of his Son and sent his Son to live in our hearts. And that image transforms and changes the way we think and the way we perceive, which changes us as people, not in the human, but we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. And there's a life now that is projected out of in the image through our minds of from the inner person, the inner self. And that becomes stronger and stronger as years go on. And the more we make decisions for that strong influence of Christ, that authority of Christ in our lives, and we put off the old, the more his image is manifested in us and through us. So it should not be, and this all comes under the heading of stop lying to one another. Stop trying to put on an act of the way a Christian should be or try to impress other people with a human witness of what it means to be a Christian. And be real and honest. Be surrendered to Christ. Put off the old and put on the new and present your bodies as a living sacrifice for Christ to manifest himself. He does his own witnessing. He represents himself. And there's no religious or racial or cultural or social limitations whatsoever. He's in every one of his people, in everything. So it's understanding that we are changed and transformed by him. And to grow in Christ means to grow surrendered to his image, manifesting himself through us. That's what it's all about. He must increase, I must decrease. That is a continuous growth process. Close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that your Spirit uses to help us to be enlightened and to understand. We are influenced by a culture, by a form of Christianity within our culture that emphasizes the human expression as Christianity. Where your word teaches, biblical Christianity teaches us that it's the expression of Christ in us. First ministering to us to change and transform us in the renewing of the mind. That our thought processes would be in interaction with the true and living God. That the focal point of our life would be Christ, to seek him and to meditate on him. That others would see him. Help us to see that you have not sent us out to represent you in our human effort, but rather to represent you by surrendering to your Spirit in us, manifesting yourself both to us and to those around us as to the truth of Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.